Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Drowning is so scary. It can be silent and quick, and it kills nearly 1,000 children every year. My guest is Dr. Sarah Denny. She's an attending physician in the Division of Emergency Medicine at Nationwide Children's Hospital, and she's also the lead author on the Prevention of Drowning Policy Statement from the American Academy of Pediatrics. Dr. Denny, I'm so glad to have you with us to discuss this really important topic. And as a parent myself with a lake house, I am somebody who is hyper worried all the time about this, boating accidents and then the resulting drowning. But I know that drowning can happen in mere inches of water. So tell us about this new policy statement and what does it aim to do?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me on, and I'm so excited you guys are covering this really important topic. So this is a revised policy statement, and what we're really trying to focus on are populations who are at increased risk of drowning. There's racial and sociodemographic disparities in our drowning rates. And then, you know, water competency, which is a little bit different than just knowing all your strokes, right? It's also, do you know about water safety knowledge? Do you have basic swim skills? Do you know how to properly respond to a swimmer in trouble to the best of your abilities? And then the focus is on prevention. And what we know is that prevention is different during times when kids are expected to be in and around water versus when they're not. And then, of course, talking about the drowning chain of survival and the importance of early bystander CPR.
Well, let's start with the non-swim time drowning risks, because it's something that I think is so important. Parents don't think about it, whether it's the bathtub and you leave your three-year-old in there just to run to turn off the oven or do something like that, or whether you're someone that does have a pool in your backyard or even rain buckets. It doesn't even matter what it is.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about those risks and how you want us to identify them.
Sure. Well, you know, it's easy for people to say, well, just watch your kid and then your kid won't drown. But that's really not true. You know, we know that at some point, if your child is not expected to be in the pool or in the water, there may be a time where you have to go to the bathroom or you answer the door and your child's not in the water, so you're not thinking about drowning risk necessarily. It's not front of mind. And that's where those barriers are so critically important. So if you have a pool, putting four-sided isolation fencing around the pool is really important. And what that means is it's not a fence that covers three sides and the house is the fourth side, but the fence actually completely encloses the pool to prevent a child from slipping out of a sliding glass door while you're using the restroom or answering the door and gaining access to the water. You know, what you mentioned, buckets and toilets. So we're thinking about those things that a child could slip into the bathroom. So you can do toilet latches actually for those toddlers. It's really more risk of toddlers with the buckets and the toilets, that kind of thing. So you can get a toilet latch. Being mindful of emptying buckets or wading pools so there's not standing water that a child could inadvertently gain access to.
Well, as one of those parents that had a toilet lock latch, you know, which really is a pain, but worth it when you know that then your toddler can't get in there, you know, and fall in by mistake. Now speak about really how drowning happens, because Dr. Denny, I had one of those little blow-up pools when my son was two or so, and all I did was turn around. I just turned around to where our deck furniture was, and when I turned back around, it was like in slow motion. I saw the pool side collapse. I saw him go in, down, under, and I mean, of course, and I reacted and pulled him out, but I still have these wiggle nightmares of it. I still remember it like it was yesterday and he's 19. So how does drowning happen that it's so silent? Because people think that it's loud and noisy and splashing around, and that's
right.
Not really what it is, is it?
No, it's really not at all. You know, but before I became a doctor, I used to be a lifeguard. I used to teach swimming lessons. And yeah, it just, kids just sort of slip under the water. And if you think about it, you know, their mouth is underwater, so they're not yelling for help. They're not thrashing around. It's very silent. And so that's why that constant supervision is so critically important. So if a child is in or around water, it's really important that parents are really engaged and attentive and watching that child. So, you know, one of the phrases that we like to use is a water watcher. If there's a bunch of kids in the pool, there has to be an adult who's the designated water watcher, whose job is to watch the children in the pool, not be on the phone, not be chit-chatting, not be reading a book, but truly watching the water for, you know, that child who just kind of quietly slips underneath. And then, you know, that is a rotating job. You can't be that person all the time. But then you rotate and another adult is the supervising water watcher.
So I think the main message is that, as you say, there has to be somebody watching. What about when our kids get a little older, Dr. Denny? Maybe they've taken swimming lessons. Maybe they're pretty comfortable around the water and even into teenage years, because I learned that there's a real risk with diving in. And having issues with that, you know. So what do you want us to know when parents think, oh, well, my child's a good swimmer, or there's tons of kids around, or they're at the beach, and, you know, but that's a scary time too, isn't it? Can be.
It is absolutely a scary time. And I'm, you know, I'm so glad you brought up swim lessons. Swim lessons are so important, and there's definitely evidence that they reduce the risk of drowning. But what's really important to remember is it doesn't make them drown proof. You know, my kids are all on the swim team. They're very strong swimmers, but I get worried about when they're at the pool and it's really crowded. What if someone jumps on their head, you know, in the deep end and they're unconscious? It doesn't matter that they're on the swim team. That's not going to help. So it's really important that we're still watching those kids. It doesn't have to necessarily be the touch supervision that we want in the young children. But they should still be being watched. And that holds true even if there's a lifeguard. The lifeguards are a great layer of protection, but parents also do need to still be watching. And I'm so glad you brought up adolescents, because we really see a large peak in drowning rates in the adolescent population as well. And that's for a lot of different reasons. We know that the teenage brain is not fully developed, and sometimes there's increased risk-taking behaviors in this age group. Sometimes there's substance abuse. Sometimes kids just overestimate what their swimming abilities are. And so it's really important that, you know, parents have those discussions with their teenagers about, you know, never swimming alone, swimming where there's a lifeguard, you know, swimming where there's adult supervision. Those are all really very important. And then, of course, making sure that kids have good water safety knowledge. What is high-risk behavior? You brought up diving in. You know, that could be very dangerous. So making sure that kids are equipped with that water safety knowledge and the basic swim skills that they need.
This time of year, it's hard to avoid getting sick. Whether it's a common cold or the stomach bug, it's crucial to stay well hydrated. Hydralyte is a great-tasting clinical hydration product that contains the correct balance of sodium, glucose, and water to rapidly replace fluids and electrolytes. Hydralyte comes in great flavors like orange, berry, lemonade, and is available as a premixed drink, a powder, or effervescent tablets that you can simply drop into a glass or a bottle of water. Compared to sports drinks, Hydralyte delivers up to 4 times the electrolytes with 75% less sugar. Hydralyte solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. You can find Hydralyte in the digestive aisle at Rite Aid or online at Amazon.com. Visit Hydralyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. That's Hydralyte.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. And I'm glad you mentioned the substance use, because whether you're teens or even young 20-somethings, drinking and water go hand in hand sometimes, and that could increase it also. So I think it's even more important that, you know, everybody have that water watcher and that they do not drink and swim and they do not do any of those things. I mean, like I said, I have a lake house, so I'm hypervigilant about this. Now, when you see kids in pools, public pools, community pools, or in a lake, and they've got the little water wing things on, does that help to prevent drowning? Does that make parents a little too overconfident, or the children themselves?
Well, we have to be really careful about the terminology that we use. I think that it's completely appropriate if a child is not a good swimmer to put them in a Coast Guard approved life jacket. But the inflatable water wings are definitely not a life-saving device. They do not drown-proof a child. They can easily slip off, and we wouldn't want someone to have a false sense of security because their child is wearing those water wing things.
Well, I agree with you completely, and life jackets are the, you know, tip of the day for me. It's just life jackets, life jackets. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got to have a life jacket on, you know, including the adults, because it's just too scary otherwise. So what else would you like us to know about the upcoming summer and warmer mm-hmm. weather and spring breaks and everything that people do that involve water to hopefully protect the ones that we love from this horrible tragedy?
Absolutely. You're right. And, you know, May is when we start seeing that increase. So the timing for this discussion is great. You know, I think thinking ahead, thinking about those potential risk factors, you know, those buckets, the toilets, you know, the pool, getting that four-sided fencing in. You mentioned the lake house. You know, we vacation at a lake every summer as well. And when my kids were younger, it made me so nervous. Because obviously you can't four-side fence a lake, but you can take other precautions. So door alarms, door locks, making sure that everyone's being really vigilant that, you know, a kiddo doesn't slip out of the door when you're making dinner. So just making sure everyone is aware about those preventative strategies to prevent drowning in all different types of water environments.
It's great information, Dr. Denny, and so important for us to hear really at all times of the year, and that there are those non-swim time risks that people don't really realize, but that when you are around water, you are watching and being mindful and not reading a book and certainly not being on your phone. So it's great information. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing that with us, because our experts from the AAP are the ones we need to hear it from. It is the gold standard. Thank you again. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Healthy Children, and all of our experts on this show are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics. So thank you so much. Share this show with your friends. You can hear it on TuneIn and Stitcher and iHeart and iTunes and Google Play and Spotify and everywhere that podcasts are played. But we want you to listen at RadioMD.com. Thanks so much, and stay well.